Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
All right, let's go.
All right, we're going. Nothing is more entertaining. I don't think I like anything more than watching Kabali try to manage the backgrounds he has set for his camera. Like the one with the piano in the background, I think is really cool. I don't know what you did with that one. Lots of times he just blurs out whatever's behind him to make it look more sophisticated, I guess, or whatever. But this time, oh, there it is. There's a piano. There it is.
Maybe we should have a contest of what background I should have.
That's a good one too. Hey, you gotta retweet the link. You've got like 15 times more followers than me, so you got to make sure you put that out there so people see it and they can join us. It is the latest edition of Kabali and Mac.
Yeah,
you're literally tagged in it, dude.
I block a lot of the stuff, so
you don't block mine. You see mine. This isn't like the fake. What was the one that was tweeted out on Friday? Somebody tweeted something out on Friday saying you were reporting something from the Hula Bowl. Anyway,
it was some pit related thing. I just hope
it's fake news. Hashtag fake news. Nothing more fun though than watching Kabali manage his backgrounds. We got a lot to talk about today, including conference championship games. Big Art gonna speak. Is it later today? Kaboom? Are we?
I'm not quite sure. It's at some point during this week.
Okay. All right. Big Art the Two going to talk at some point this week. Penn State bought a defensive coordinator from their rivals, which I think is hilarious. Saturday night's main event looked like it was good. I only watched one segment. You can fill me in on the rest. There's a lot to get to. I was busy taking the family snow tubing, by the way, which almost didn't happen because we bought tickets to go snow tubing at Hidden Valley, which I found out once we got up there does not have snow tubing anymore. We had bought tickets for Hidden Valley, Missouri, because it's owned by the same company that now owns Hidden Valley, Pennsylvania.
So did you make it out to Missouri?
No, we just went up to Seven Springs, just went right up over the mountain to Seven Springs, and they were nice enough to let us on there because we called and we're like, yo, what happened here? And they said, nope, we don't have snow tubing anymore at Hidden Valley. So lesson learned. For those of you that Google Hidden Valley snow tubing, it's not in Pennsylvania. Don't buy the tickets because we actually had friends that told us they did the same thing this weekend by accident. We hadn't even talked to them about it beforehand. So if you want to take your kids snow tubing, just go to Seven Springs instead or go to like Boyce Park or something. It's closer. Yes. Have you effectively retweeted now? I heard the audio.
Yeah, I hit something. I don't know what I hit, so
I don't know what you
could be up there.
All right, so this is Kabali and Mac. We want to thank those folks who have, because we've talked to a couple people that are interested in sponsoring things. You'll start to notice a couple differences with those people being mentioned next week, which will also be Super Bowl week. Hopefully, we'll have some fun guests. I know later this week, Mark, we're supposed to have Justin Labar from Busted Open Radio to preview the Royal Rumble. You did watch Saturday night's main event. We'll get to all the football in a second. You watched the entire thing. I only saw, like I said, the Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, Shawn Michaels segment. Other than that, which was awesome because we got some sweet chin music. Other than that, what else did I miss?
I was going to wear my shirt today that says Chris Mack sucks eggs. It didn't come. I ordered off of Temu. Or is it Temu or is it Tomu?
How are you supposed to say? We say Temu.
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 I don't know. Wasn't on a Super Bowl commercial last year?
Temu was, really?
I thought so. And they said they spelled it Temu or something. I don't know.
If TikTok is banned, why isn't Temu banned?
I don't know. Isn't it
also owned by China?
I just started using like Amazon, so you think I'm going to the
Temu? You're way behind the curve.
Graininger or whatever that
thing is
called.
There's a step beyond Temu. Also, it's called I can't remember the name now.
The MacBid.
No, not MacBid. I have a neighbor that's like addicted to MacBid. It's weird. But no, there's another one. I forget what it's called. It's another like Chinese bootleg website where you can get stuff cheap. Thanks for the comments. We already got a few in there on X. Greg wants to know if you're going to Indy anytime soon. He wants to buy you a sub and a beer. You may be out there for the combine next month.
I actually just got some credential information, so I'll be out there a couple days. I think that's at the end of the month. Maybe I don't even know what the end of the month is. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that maybe the 28th, the 1st, or so. I don't know.
Way to be on top of it. It starts Thursday, February 27th, Sunday, March 2nd.
Well, that's when they get on the field. We're usually out of it by then. I think Omar Khan, the GM, will talk that Tuesday to local media and to the masses. Then, Tomlin doesn't talk during that portion. Then they'll have some interviews the next couple of days before they get on the field. And if I want to watch something on the field, I'll just go watch it on the TV.
Yeah, I guess there's really not much point to being there in the stands to watch all the testing and the dudes working out in shorts, right? Like, you're just going there to get information from the personnel people, like Omar.
Yeah, pretty much GMs.
Okay.
Some other GMs. Say, I don't know. At that point, what were we looking at? Late February? There's still not free agency at that point. I don't know. You might work on something like... Say, I'll give you an example. You want to do a Cam Hayward story.
Yeah.
So you go around to different head coaches and you say, hey, man, what do you think of Cam Hayward? Then you be able to compile some different viewpoints on the guy, stuff like that.
I like this look behind the journalistic curtain. You should teach a class. You should start teaching journalism class.
Come on. Like, I will turn it on Remember the Titans. Isn't that what Starkey did? I heard Starkey taught at Point Park, and all he did was like watch old NBA highlights.
You said that wouldn't surprise me at all. Colony taught for a while, the great Jim Colony.
I'm sure he
would. Could you imagine learning from Colony at the knee of genius like that?
He would be all over the place. I don't think he could keep a straight thought for more than 15 seconds.
You got to ride the wave, man. You got to be light on your feet, as Mike Tomlin would say. I appreciate the look behind the journalistic curtain, though, and I'll have to dial you up a couple times while you're out in Indy and talk to you while you're getting a sub and a beer with Greg, who said hello on X. The inimitable Sloss Boss, who I believe I had muted at one point on X, wants to know if the Steelers really aren't making any changes. We'll get to what we think Art Rooney may or may not say in a couple minutes. So hang out, Sloss Boss. We'll answer that question for you. I want to talk about the conference championship games first. In the first game, felt like it was going to be a game. Like, all the way up through just about halftime, and Washington decided to turn the ball over 15 times, and Saquon Barkley is just a god at this point. Like, we both tweeted different versions of John Mara with his head in his hands at one point from Hard Knocks. That is the single worst decision. The Giants have made a lot of bad decisions. That is the single worst decision in Giants franchise history, is letting Saquon walk.
I'll tell you one thing. That's the poster child of not doing Hard Knocks right there, because not only is Mara there looking like a weak owner saying, please, please sign Saquon. You're the owner. Go sign him. But what about Joe Shane, whatever his name is, the GM's kid saying, yeah, go trade up and get Jaden Daniels. You only got this job once.
I think the best part of the Joe Shane clip with Mara in his office is Shane's laughing at him. Yeah. Like, they cut over to him, and Shane's like, oh, you're going to have a hard time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philly. Yeah, dumbass. The owner's telling you sign Saquon, and you're laughing at him. How that dude still has a job today, I don't know. But seriously, I don't think this is the best season we've seen from a running back in, I mean, outside of a Derrick Henry year a few years ago. This is like the best year by a running back in at least a decade. Like Saquon is single-handedly breathing new life into the running back position and what should be a pretty interesting running back market this offseason.
The only problem with the market is it's pretty light. You got Aaron Jones, you got Najee Harris, you got maybe Javonte Williams. Those guys aren't going to break the bank, so it might be all for naught.
No, but they all need to send cards and flowers to Saquon after they sign whatever deal they sign, because they're all going to get a little bit more because of what Saquon has done this year.
Yeah, I wonder if wherever those guys are going to go in the offseason, if they get the Eagles offensive line, if they get Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown.
That helps, yeah.
Jalen Hurts. But, yeah, the difference between Saquon and every other running back, I do believe in this league, is if you make one tiny mistake, it's not a 15-yard gain and let's go huddle up. It's house time, baby. And that's just game-changing play after play that you have to be on your spot. You have to be in your gaps. You have to be in your fits, or he's taking it to the house. If they even play a fraction as well as they did offensively against the Chiefs as they did against the Commanders, they will whip the Chiefs. Whip them.
Whip them.
If they run the ball like they did over these past couple of games, yeah.
That defense is just – It's so fun to watch. Like, they always look like they're about to force a turnover. They never look like they're doing too much, though. Does that make sense? Like, the Eagles' defense never looks like they're bringing six guys from one side and nobody from the other, and they're trying to confuse you, or they're doing some elaborate coverage. No, they're just lining up and playing defense. And it's a bunch of, I mean, other than Jalen Carter in the middle, right? Slay is older now. I know they got the young guys in the secondary who they drafted this year, but like, there's no huge massive names on that defense that you go, other than Carter, it's just everybody getting shit done, for lack of a better way to put it. Like, they just get their jobs done.
Yeah, Brandon Graham might be coming back here for the Super Bowl that they're staying now. So even if he can play 10 to 15 snaps, he's huge. But man, I don't know even who you credit this for, this defense. I mean, is it luck or is it talent that you're able to go get a guy named Zach Bond from New Orleans and right. He turns into a defensive player of the year candidate? Is that luck or is that just skill? I mean, it has to be a little bit of both there, man. But they've drafted well. I mean – Cooper DeJean, I mean, he's up there, but come, I mean, nobody thought he'd be this good this early. It's just a well-run organization right now,
this loops back, honestly, Mark, on something we talked about for the last couple of weeks. You need to get quality assistance sometimes, and you need to go out and maybe pay a little bit extra for it. They went out and got Fangio when he became available. That's a huge difference for them. Bang, right away in 1 year. I get they added pieces as well. You mentioned Bond. I mentioned DeJean and the other guy in the secondary, the guy they drafted, Mitchell. But
I thought you were talking about the white boys or whatever they call them. Do they call themselves now?
Who?
Oh, the Eagles. They have like three white dudes or something. They call themselves the white boys or something like that. They have their own nickname.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. Cooper DeJean is probably a part of that. I didn't know they had a nickname for him. My bad. I'm not paying that close attention.
I don't have it. They gave themselves
Eagles
that.
Nicknames. But my point is, like, we talked a couple weeks ago, the Steelers, if they're not going to make any changes, right? If they're not going to fire anybody, right? And we know Tomlin's definitely out of the question. Mike Tomlin will be the coach as long as Mike Tomlin wants to be the head coach. And we know it doesn't look like Terrell Austin's going anywhere now, because they would have done it at this point if they were going to do it. You go out and you add an experienced assistant like they did with Flores a couple years ago. We talked about Robert Saleh. That's not going to happen now. He got the D coordinator job in San Francisco. But, you know, that's what the Eagles did. They were willing to make a move at an important spot. They knew they had talent on defense, but they weren't able to do enough with it. They go out and find more young talent, Mitchell, DeJean, Bond, and they hire Vic Fangio to put it all together.
Yeah, plus, you know, what I would like to know, the inside dynamics of how the Eagles work. You think Howie Roseman goes to Nick Sirianni and says, hey, man, I'm thinking about getting do you want this guy? Who do you want me to get for you? I don't think it works that way. I think Howie says, hey, man, we're going to get this guy here. You can have him. I mean, maybe they have some say-so input-wise from the head coach, but I think there's a clear line of demarcation of Howie Roseman doing what he wants to do as well here, which – I mean, in obviously in somewhat correlation with the scouting staff and the coaching staff, but I think he got a big, big, big say in it, and maybe he's just that good too. I mean, I don't know if I don't think the Steelers have that sort of, you know.
No, we hoped we'd get a taste of it, like that whatever rubbed off of Howie on to Andy Weidel may have come with him when he came back to Pittsburgh.
But we know what Andy does, and Andy does scouting. And if Andy says, I like this guy, I mean, we don't know if they say, okay, great. We're taking this guy instead. I mean, we don't know.
Dennis on X reminded us, Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship are calling themselves the Exciting Whites.
There you go.
The Exciting Whites.
By the way, this coaching staff of the Steelers, the only thing I could think of right now is, they don't fire people, right? They let contract expires. Typically, contracts expire monthly. So maybe we'll hear something on Thursday.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of, right?
I'm not counting on it.
I think for the most part, Tomlin's 18 years now, I think at least one coach has been turned over every single year. If not, it's 16 of the 17.
I don't think it'll be Austin, though. It'll be some sort of... I don't know, down the line, assistant something coach. Like, it's not going to be anything major, I don't think. I did want to – Jaden Daniels, like, I know once they started turning the ball over, this game was over in a hurry. Jaden Daniels is going to be a whole lot of trouble for a long time for a lot of teams. Like, he had the best rookie year of a quarterback – I mean, can we remember a more impactful rookie year from a quarterback in the last 5 years?
Maybe Andrew. Oh, 5 years. Thinking back towards the Andrew Luck days, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking over a decade then.
Probably not the last 5 years at all. But you know, middle of the season, he hit that rough patch. It's not like it's been all smooth sailing for him.
No, and the Steelers did a pretty good job of limiting him too, I thought. Like, they did a nice job of not giving him time to break the pocket. They did that. That was the one thing I didn't understand, how throughout the whole back half of the season, after seeing the way the Steelers defense handled Daniels, other teams had so many problems with it. But I think that's just him adjusting as well.
Yeah, you know, another thing is they're very similar to the Steelers in the fact that they don't have a ton of weapons around him. Okay, Terry McLaurin's top level, top notch wide receiver, but we got Eckler and what, Robinson and who knows who their other guys, Zachariah.
Zacchaeus, yeah. Zacchaeus actually had a couple of huge monster games down the stretch, Olamide Zacchaeus.
So we got it. It's not like they're over the top loaded in offensive talent. I mean, I guess you can compare, in theory, Pickens to McLaurin and everybody else on the same. I mean,
what's the big difference again, Mark? The big difference again? Who's the coordinator?
And the quarterback.
Yeah, well, the quarterback is a massive difference, obviously. But who's the an experienced coordinator who knows what the hell he's doing. Cliff knows what he's doing. He may not be a great head coach, but you give him a talented quarterback and he'll dial up some points for you.
Yep. So
the late game, the Bills got screwed. I know there were moments where, you know, chasing points early in the game or dumb penalties in a couple different spots or not picking up the blitz on the final play on offense, or, you know, just Dalton Kincaid catching the ball. All of these things all happened. And I'm not going to say they didn't happen or they didn't have something to do with the outcome of the game, Mark, but come on. If they convert that fourth down on the Allen sneak, it's completely different. Chiefs get the ball there, take it down the field. Mahomes runs in for his second touchdown of the game. I don't want to say it's effectively over there, but put the Bills in a spot where they had to then march down the field. Then they get – I mean, it's just – I don't know how that call gets missed. Not just on the field, mind you, but then upon review as well.
Yeah, those are things that are easily avoidable, easily correctable. There's been things put in place to be – I mean, you can pretty much correct majority of every issue on the field right now, except apparently the Chainlink gang, right?
And yeah, it is the year 2025, and we still have two guys holding sticks with Chainlink strung between it, measuring first downs.
I don't blame either one of the refs because they can't see anything. They're 20.
The one guy did see it, though, Mark. He came in from the near sideline and spotted it past the line to gain. Yeah, he did see it.
You got 25 yards. That's tough. It's this much. What I'm saying is it's avoidable. It's avoidable. You can just – I mean, we saw it in the XFL. It's not like they haven't went and poached stuff off the XFL in the past.
Right.
I'm sure – I think they're in the process of testing these chips and balls out, you know. But, man, as I tweeted, and I think it's still got like 130,000
tweets. Who's at the door?
I don't know. Probably the FedEx guy. If not, I'm in trouble. We're going to have to hit pause here for a second. What was I going to say now?
About whatever you
tweeted. We're live, fellas.
What'd you tweet about the first time?
It got a ton of views. I'm like, you know, in honor of our ex-Twitter boss, Elon, saying we can catch a rocket from outer space. Can't tell if a ball hits the 40-yard line or not. What are we doing here?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, we could probably come up with a list of 100 different things, you know, what we can do. We can have a machine hit a golf ball 700 yards, but we can't have
– Mark, they can overlay the yard lines with exact precision when there's too much snow on the field for us to see it on TV, but they can't. They can't put chips in the nose end of each end of the football and then laser off the field so that we can know when a first down is achieved. You're right. It's ridiculous.
I think they don't want to at this point.
But why? See, this all lends itself to two things. One, I've got to sit there and explain to an 11-year-old why the NFL isn't really rigged, right? Because he just sits there and he gets mad, rigged, because that's what he sees on YouTube. That's what everybody sees on social media. The league's rigged. They want Mahomes to win. They want Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl. Look, I don't discount for a second that I'm sure Roger Goodell is excited about the idea of having Taylor Swift at the Super
Bowl. Plus Bradley Cooper, too, of course.
Well, there you go. But the league's not rigged. Like, I'm not buying into that, okay? What I will say is it's a whole hell of a lot harder to argue against when crap like this happens.
I understand, but you got to tell your kid to get off TikTok or something and those reels. That's number one. Well, you know, see, I'm explaining to my 10-year-old that they're like, well, at least Travis and Jason get to play each other again. I'm like, well.
Well, hold on a sec there, bud.
Jason's not actually, so fast. Probably making a lot more money right now for a lot less work.
But I mean, this is why. So on top of the fact that people get tired of the same team winning over and over and over again, right? Like, it just happens. It's natural. We all get tired of seeing the Chiefs win. We get tired of seeing Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game every year, which literally it's been every single year since he became a starting quarterback. We get tired of seeing the Taylor Swift cutaways. We get tired of all of it, right? Well, then you layer on top of it the crap that is questionable calls, whether it's a flag on Mahomes getting shoved out of bounds in a previous game, or it's mysterious holding calls not getting called. Now, I realize the magnifying glass is on them more than ever, but a moment like that is a moment where people go, this is crap, man. This is crap.
Our boy Greg on Twitter here has a point. You calling Tim Donaghy a liar then about the NBA? What a tremendous... what was that on Netflix?
The Tim Donaghy special. Oh, yeah.
Really, really.
That was really good.
He did it smart though, but you know, it's hard to do that in the NFL. I think,
yeah, there's eight officials on the field at once.
I mean, it's not I guess you could do it with hold. I don't know. I don't want to believe that it's rigged. So put it that way.
I don't either, but it's like, this is what I mean. It's become so much harder to argue against it when that happens. It's very, very frustrating. As for the Bills, Josh Allen now has been dominated by the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs like no other quarterback has ever been dominated by another quarterback. legitimately. He is now 0-4 against Mahomes in Kansas City in the playoffs. Imagine even Manning got past Brady at a certain point, right?
Imagine what they're saying in Buffalo right now. They're going crazy over some of those play calls, you know. Tush push to the left four times didn't work. Running the ball 18 out of 19 times to start the second half when you got Josh Allen and you're not handing the ball off to the guy, Cook, when you need to do it. They're probably going bonkers over there in Buffalo.
You think McDermott's in trouble?
No. You know, McDermott, if you recall, what was that, a year or two ago? We were just everybody saying, look, that window's closing on Buffalo. They had to purge everybody out. Diggs was gone. A lot of people was gone. They left.
Both safeties gone.
I mean, that's another team that doesn't have a ton of talent, offensive talent. I mean, wide receiver-wise, Cooper stinks. Mac Hollins, I mean, you probably didn't hear about him since, you know, if he didn't wear his.
Oh, he doesn't wear shoes. I've heard that, yeah.
It's like, who are we talking about here? Dalton Kincaid had an average second year, not a great year. Years ago, they refused to run the ball.
Right.
And in the AFC Championship, they almost refused to pass the ball.
So, tie it all together then. What's holding them back? If Allen is the best quarterback in the league, and he may be right now.
Defense. Their defense stinks.
I don't think their defense stinks. It doesn't out and out stink. I think the problem once again comes back to coaching. I hate being that guy, by the way, because I am being that guy though. Like, because so many people just want to blame it on coaches all the time, and they don't look at the players. But like, the Buffalo defense isn't that much worse than it was a year ago or the year previous to that. Not as good. Definitely, I get it. Like, you talk about losing Poyer and Hyde on the back end, and now Hamlin's a starter, and all. Yeah, definitely, changes have been made. Von Miller's a year older and always beat up. Like, I get it, but if the coach can't get them over the hump at some point when they've got the best quarterback in the game, I don't know. Who else do we blame?
Mike Tomlin.
Okay, that's fair.
Almost dropped my computer. I'm so excited. I made a joke. I almost dropped my computer.
Oh, you're so funny. Art's going to talk later in the week, and people do want to hear or what we think he may or may not say. Somebody says the Steelers are too content with just being a participant.
Waste management consultant, by the way.
Yeah, he's got a very important job. He might be driving through my neighborhood today. It's garbage day here.
Speaking of that, there are sponsorships now available.
There you go, waste management. If you're interested, by all means, reach out. But as mentioned, the Sloss Boss, who at one point, and look at that avatar on his X account, Mike Tomlin in a clown outfit. Sloss Boss, who I once had muted on Twitter. I forget why, but I unmuted him after a while. He says they're really not making any changes, huh? And I don't look that we're going to get one of the most boring, nothing said for about 25,000 words worth of speaking press conferences or meetings with the media that Art Rooney II has with you guys later this week. What is he going to say then?
I think he's going to come out guns a blazing, man.
Art Rooney II is going to turn into Jerry Effing Jones.
He's not going to be over the top and demonstrative, but I think he's going to make his point well known. I think he knows darn well what's being said around the organization, around the league, around the NFL. For him to come out and paint it as a nice and rosy picture, it's just not going to happen. He's too wise to be able to do that. He reads everything. He knows everything was being said. For him to come out and say, well, you know, we just ran into a buzzsaw at the end of the year, is just being blind to the fact of anything around him. So I do not anticipate him saying it. He's going to say, we need to get better.
He's going to say the same stuff he said last year, right? Like, oh, we can't keep doing this year after year. And then
he changed last year. They did change last year. It just didn't work.
Okay, so if last year's changes didn't work, and I get it. They made probably the most monumental offseason moves the franchise has made since drafting Roethlisberger, right? They traded one quarterback. They traded for another. They signed another. You know, they remade the whole quarterback room, which, again, is probably the most the Steelers have done in a single offseason since drafting Ben Roethlisberger 20 years ago. Okay, yeah. To your point, it didn't work. So now what? Like, this comes back to my point about McDermott and Allen in Buffalo. If you keep trying the same thing over and over and over again, at a certain point, you realize it's not working. I know they're not going to fire Mike Tomlin or trade Mike Tomlin or whatever other cockamamie ideas we came up with 3 weeks ago as a collective Steelers fans. But there's got to be something more than we're going to, you know, dismiss a defensive assistant or this or that. Like, what are the major changes then?
Maybe it obviously would have to be personnel. But maybe this is just a step in the plan, right? It's part of the plan. If you did so much changes year one, or we consider yet last year one, you add on to that and see where you need to add pieces. You do the same thing this year. I mean, you could be looking for a whole new quarterback room. We just don't know right now, depending what happens in free agency. And, you know, those guys don't have to come back. Maybe just keep adding on to that point. But, I mean, the elephant in the room is not even an elephant anymore. It's like one of those prehistoric ones with the big, what's those things called? With the big,
the tusks. So it's a woolly mammoth.
The woolly mammoth in the room is you got to find yourself a quarterback who's a franchise quarterback. And those things don't grow on trees. Until you find one of those, you're not going to be playing with the Chiefs, the Bills, the Commanders, whoever else was in there.
You named them Chiefs, Bills, Commanders, Eagles.
You're not going to be playing with those teams unless you find that. So, I mean, once again, how do you go about finding that guy?
Re-sign Fields and see what you can get out of him and see how high the ceiling is.
It's like, okay, let's tank it and let's go get a quarterback next year. There's no guarantee if you got a top five pick next year, you're going to get a quarterback that's any good.
No, and this and the team's not bad enough to go to lose enough games to get, like, I'm sorry. I know as mad as we can be about the defense, and rightfully so, the way they played down the last stretch of the season, right? As mad as we want to be about the defense, it's still going to be good enough that they're going to win at least 7 or 8 games probably, right? Like, this is never going to be a 4-13 outfit. It's just not.
And it's not. I mean, we've seen in this city that, you know, a ping pong ball can change a franchise twice. So maybe if you do, I mean, I just don't believe in if you do tank or have a bad season that there's any guarantees to go along with that. Just look.
I agree with you. There aren't. I don't think there are. It's why I don't agree with the line of thinking of tanking and hoping, you know, that you end up with a pick that lands you Arch Manning next year or whoever the hell it may be. Or some sort of franchise quarterback. I agree. I do think you work with what you've already got a base of knowledge about, a guy who started the season 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, that's best case scenario right now, but if there's one other team out there has a better offer, and I mean, don't even mean money. I'm talking about, hey, you're our guy for the next 3 years.
So, you've mentioned this a couple times. Do you really think they would offer Fields a contract and not at least behind closed doors tell him, hey, you're QB1, you're going to have to fall on your face and completely piss down your leg to lose the job?
Well, they said that it was, you know, 1A and 1B last year with Russell and him, and it wasn't. I mean, you can't trust anybody in this league. I wouldn't trust anybody.
So if you were Fields and you got, let's say you had the exact same deal on the table from two different teams, the Steelers and, I don't know, let's say the Vikings, just for giggles, right? I don't know. I'm just picking a team out of thin air.
Who Vikings might need a because they're wide receivers.
Give me somebody else who might need a quarterback.
Saints.
Okay. You got two similar deals on the table, Justin Fields, from New Orleans and Pittsburgh. They both tell you, you know, 2 years, I don't know, what's the number?
25, 30 million.
25. 2 years, 25. Okay. 12 and a half each year. And the same amount guaranteed and all that. Where would you go? Would you come back to a place that you know, where you probably like the coach, right? Because everybody loves Mike Tomlin. Where you started 4-2 last year, you got some rapport with the OC, who might like you a little bit because you're not the other guy. Or do you go to New Orleans and start fresh again all over with what? Chris Olave and aging Alvin Kamara. And no idea who the head coach is going to be, too.
Yeah. I mean, how about if you do get a good head coach, a good coordinator? I mean, maybe Justin Sore of how things went down last year. He didn't seem like it, but that doesn't really say anything. I mean, what I'm saying is it's just no guarantee right now. If you offer him a fair contract, that he's going to say, okay, sure, let's go knock him dead again. I mean, if you're staying here and your strong point is running the ball, and you see this offense just wants to run the ball with their running backs and not put you in position to succeed, why wouldn't you go somewhere that would put you in a better situation to succeed?
I get it. Again, we're only using New Orleans as an example here. I don't know if a place like New Orleans, for example, would necessarily
be the Jets, better. The Saints, the Steelers, who else are we looking at here? There's
a lot of places. Here. Yeah. But I don't know. I see what you're saying, but I think it's all the more reason why they should consider getting Fields done now and then
moving. Why would he do it now? Why would he do it now? Go to free agency.
They're going to screw themselves out of the quarterback position, Mark, is what's going to happen.
You can offer him all you want. I mean, he's earned free agency, so go look.
Okay. They're going to end up waking up. When does free agency open? March 12th, I think it is.
Something like that, yes.
They're going to wake up on March 13th, and Fields is going to have signed somewhere else.
Yeah, he's going to have that meme of, what's his name? John Travolta looking around.
Yeah.
Like, where's my fiction? Headset?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, they're going to be stuck with another year of Russ. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, Russ is going to Vegas, right?
Or worse yet, yeah. Russ leaves, goes to Vegas with Pete. Right? Grampy Pete. And now they have, then what at quarterback? Exactly.
Tannehill? I don't know.
Kyle Allen.
I would sign Kyle Allen as your number three, but.
That's not going to be enough to get it done. So what you're saying is, if we get anything from Art, I mean, it's just going to be, to a lot of people, I know what you're saying. He may say what is in his mind is a harsh reality, but to the rest of us, it's going to sound like the same kind of platitudes that he laid out last year. And then, like, people want blood, is what I'm saying, Mark, and they're not going to get any this week when Art talks.
No. Plus, he's not going to tell you, well, we're going to go look for a quarterback in free agency. He can't tip your hand at anything like that. He can't be saying, boy, we really want to trade up in the draft to find somebody. He's not going to tip his hand to that. So he has to be bland in that regard.
Fair. So waste management consultant, whose extensive tweet here is now covering up half of my face, says he's from the UK.
Is that the University of Kentucky?
Yeah, most likely. Or the United Kingdom, a.k.a. Great Britain, a.k.a. England. He does make a good point. The sports media over there are brutal. They'd put unrivaled pressure on a coach who was doing poorly. Why don't the Pittsburgh media say it how it is, Mark? Why don't you go in there and yell at Art Rooney later this week?
I might give him sweet chin music.
Yes. That's what we're all here for. A Kabali super kick to Art Rooney.
I honestly don't know how to respond to that, because there's only so many times you can ask a guy a question and him not answer it.
Yeah.
I mean, Tomlin's end of the year press conference, you ask him why they suck 12 different ways and he wasn't going to answer it. I mean, what do you want me to do? Drop the leg? And
how do you plan on asking? If nobody else asks it, right? Let's say we get an opening statement from Art and a couple questions get lobbed in to sort of loosen him up. You know, his golfing buddy Jerry asks him a nice little, you know, gives him the old soft toss, and he, you know, drives a line drive to the gap just to feel good. How do you jump in with the a question about Mike Tomlin, whether he's on the hot seat or not, or whether they've considered the future of Mike Tomlin's role? How do you ask?
What I learned with Art is you can pretty much be frank and blunt there. With Tomlin, you have to phrase it in a way where he's not going to give you that one word answer.
Right.
So I would be more worried about saying, I mean, it's just plain as day. Say, you know, are you happy with Mike Tomlin and his job he's done now? Are you, I don't even know what word I would use. Are you rethinking?
Are you considering making a change at that position? No.
I mean, is he here for the long haul? I don't know. I mean, he's probably going to say this at the beginning. I mean, are you probably about the last year's contract? Your little buyer's remorse type of thing here.
Ooh.
3 years. I mean, he's not going to say, hey, I mean, he's not, so that's going to be difficult. You only got so much time when this ever this happens, so you better make the questions count, right?
Right.
You know the answer to why I asked that question.
I like this little twist we're adding to the show where we get journalism advice from you. This might turn into a feature, which, by the way, you could sponsor if you'd like to be a supporter of the Cabali and Mac show podcast, video cast thing that we're doing here that we thought was just going to be the two of us shooting the breeze a couple times a week and has turned into something, apparently. Real quick, couple things I want to throw at you. You mentioned lottery balls earlier.
So, Penguins, yeah.
Yeah. So I always like to ask you questions about the other teams in Pittsburgh because I know I'm going to get a very succinct answer.
Uh-oh.
If you were Kyle Dubas, would you listen to trade offers for Sidney Crosby?
You always have to listen.
Would you make a deal?
See, there are really very few no trade clauses or no movement clauses in the NFL. So he has to deal with something. You're saying, assuming that Crosby says, okay, give you the blessing?
Sure.
If he gives
he
you
wouldn't, he wouldn't give the
blessing. Oh, well, if he gives the blessing, absolutely I would listen. And
the blessing. Christmas vacation stuff. So you would trade Sidney Crosby is what you're saying.
Because at that point he's saying, go ahead.
That's the headline here. That's the headline. Mark Cabali says he would trade Sidney Crosby.
But doesn't Sidney Crosby, by agreeing to waive his no movement clause, saying trade me? Wouldn't that be that's what he's saying?
No, he could be saying, I understand we can only take it so far and that you need to move me to change the direction of the franchise. But I don't think he'd ever agree.
Probably move the other guys before Crosby.
Obviously. Sid's never going anywhere. He's retiring a Penguin. And then they'll put a statue up of him on the other side of the building, hopefully without any New York Islanders involved in it, like Mario's.
We can talk about the Buckos and the...
Nah.
The Skeens nutting photo for Rookie of the Year, where nutting looks like he just smelled a fart. I mean, bro, let's do this one over again, man.
What do you think Skeens thinks about Bob Nutting?
Well, Skeens doesn't come across as a very emotional person.
Yeah.
So he probably just doesn't care. He's like, whatever.
I don't think he has any great thoughts grandiose thoughts about Bob Nutting right now. But I wonder in like 2 or 3 years, once he hits arbitration and they're giving him like the $15 an hour raise that they'll probably try to give him in arbitration, like what he'll start to think about it then. Cause right now you can tell he's not jaded yet, but it'll happen.
No, he's in a good spot, man. He knows darn well in 3 years, he's getting paid buku money by somebody. They'll trade him and they'll sign a huge deal. And what's he care?
I swear to God. I can't even right now. I can't even allow myself to think about that, about a Pirates future without Skeens, even though it's because it's like, you know, we just started with him. I can't let myself think about what's going to happen in a few years. Otherwise, it ruins the now.
So you got what? 25, 26, and 27 with him. And that's about it, right? That's what they did with.
You got to pay him. You got to try and pay him for a couple of years, right?
Why would he want that?
I don't know.
He can go get paid $400 million on the market by the Dodgers come 2028.
Well, he's going to have a couple years of arbitration, though, like I said. So they can buy out those years, give him a decent contract, and maybe also get the first year or two of free agency out of the deal. Maybe. I don't see Boris letting that happen.
Yeah, I've just seen some. I'm looking for the Mega Millions. I'm not looking for the old dollar scratch off free ticket.
You were a big fan of scratch-offs when we were talking about
that. That would be the free ticket.
Yeah. Speaking of buying people, Penn State went out and bought a defensive coordinator before we wrap things up here. I'm very excited about this. Jim Knowles, who was the defensive coordinator for Ohio State this year, it has just been that James Franklin just went out and bought him. I love it. And they've kept Aller, Singleton, and Allen on offense. They've kept Denai Dennis Sutton, Zakee Wheatley, Zane Durant, AJ Harris, Tony Rojas, all coming back on defense. This is the year where James Franklin goes to a national championship game, at least goes to a national championship game. I don't want to say or else, but like everything that's been laid out for them. I mean, they've got to go get a couple of wide receivers as well. But everything, they're clearly all in on this coming season, Mark.
Well, when you go and poach the guy who maybe will stand in for the team that stands in the way of you making that national championship game, that says something. You know how much you get paid, or they even release that? It is a public university. So it's good, right?
Hold on. I got to look up the number because I saw it this morning. I want to say it was $3 million. I got to find the official number. Yeah.
Be more than that.
I mean, for a college coordinator, he was making more than $2 million a year at Ohio State. This is according to our friend Audrey Snyder. He's got a buyout of like $1.3 million, which I imagine Penn State will probably take care of for him as well. And let's see. I want to say it was $3 million I saw reported
college,
somewhere.
This college football is turning into some dirty pool, man.
Yeah, here we go. It's actually up farther in Audrey's story. 3-year deal with an average of $3.1 million per year.
So that's like Mac pay, Mac salary, right?
Yeah, right in the neighborhood, definitely.
Still, maybe he's looking at it a different way, too.
Who is? Jim Knowles?
Yeah.
How's he looking at it?
He's looking at it and say, hey, man, I'm a bad season away from being the head coach of Penn State.
Man, that's a hell of a way to think about it. You think that's...
Ryan Day's not going anywhere.
Columbus, man, they'll chase him out after one bad year. But no, that's a good point. Like if Franklin has a bad, if Penn State has a bad year this year,
but a good defensive year,
it's yeah.
Uh-oh.
He got me thinking now. There's no way they can have a bad enough year that Franklin gets canned and it doesn't also involve the defense not living up to expectations.
How about they go 12-0? And lose to Boise State in the
playoffs,
second round of the playoffs. All of a sudden, oh, here we go again, not beating any teams.
Yeah, that's well. If they went 12-0 and then lost, no, you're right. He might still get run out of town. Damn. So Jim Knowles' whole angle here. Mark Cabali reports. No, I'm not going to say reports.
Crosby's getting traded, and
Mark Cabali would trade Sidney Crosby, and says Jim Knowles will be Penn State's head coach in 2026.
Wow,
you're dropping all the bombs today.
You schmuck.
All right. You didn't fill me in. What else did I miss on the Saturday night main event?
You miss all four matches, right?
Is that all there? So let me point this out. You cover this now, so you can be honest with me and everybody else out there, or just pretend like it's just me and nobody else is listening. We're getting shows, like 2+ hour shows now, with like 4 things on the card. And I understand in the case of the Royal Rumble, Rumbles take forever. They take over an hour, right? But like, look at the card for the Rumble Saturday night. It's Owens and Rhodes. It's the men's rumble, the women's rumble, and the best 2 out of 3 falls tag championship match, which I have to believe is going to have to bring the absolute house down to have anything to do with the rest of that card. It'll probably open the show. And like, because Motor City Machine Guns, I know people who are big into wrestling were excited when they came over to WWE. They're good in the ring, but like, there's nothing outside of them and Gargano and Ciampa putting each other through like 16 tables and seven different ladders that's going to make me walk away from that match on Saturday night saying, ooh, that was worth 45 minutes of Royal Rumble PLE time.
Well, you do got hour plus for each Rumble, like you said, or each right. match. Then you have two other ones that's going to push that as well. Maybe you'll add one tonight on Raw, but I mean, Triple H is MO has been, you know, the 4-5 match.
Right. And I get that. Cause I think we get better matches out of it. Seriously. In some cases, but like when I saw, when I went and I just pulled up the Rumble card, cause I was like, something else has to have been added besides these four that I could think of. I was like, no, nothing else. Like you said, maybe something gets added tonight on Raw, but still I was like, man, that's it. Like, again, understanding that the Rumbles take forever. And I imagine Rhodes Owens will go at least, you know, 30, 35 minutes, but it just like you said, four cards on a Saturday night or four events on a Saturday night main event card. Okay. You've only got 2 hours and you're trying to maximize the impact of the biggest stars on the show on network TV.
For me, it's hard to think that a guy like Jacob Fatu is not going to be a part of this, especially what happened on Saturday night. If you want to watch something, he absolutely obliterated Braun Strowman, and Strowman was bloodied. It was quite a performance put on by the Samoan Werewolf, and to have him just out there hanging and not being a part of or being more than just an entrant into the Royal Rumble seems like it would be short-sighted. I'd like to see him in there somehow. But he won.
But
he actually lost because he got
– He DQ'd, didn't he?
He got DQ'd, but everybody else was pretty much chalk, like I was expected. Sheamus lost to Braun Breaker. Sheamus will end up winning that IC title at WrestleMania.
I hope so.
Who else won? Rhea.
Gunther beat Jey Uso. Right?
Yeah, it was one of those matches where Jey looked good wrestling but end up losing type of match. So both of them came up out.
Doesn't that feel like every match against Gunther now? Like – They try to position it. He's what?
He's a star in the making, man. Gunther. He's held a title for 80% of the time he's been in the WWE. And it's been like 5 years, 6 years.
I know. And that's great. He can chop the hell out of people. That's awesome. People leave their matches with welts all over their chest. But like Gunther. on the mic, it's brutal.
Really? I think he's gotten better. I thought he got a lot better.
He might have gotten a little bit better, but it's still rough. And I know there's got to be a balance, right? Like, there's got to be a balance between in-ring performance and on-the-mic performance. If it was all just based on, you know, who can cut the best promo, it would be a different business. But, yeah, like,
Kevin Owens would be at the top. He's just entertaining as hell recently.
I don't know where that thing goes. After Saturday night. Not this past
Sammy. Him and Sammy in the Rumble. Maybe.
Okay, so what's next? And this is, we're up against it here. We could talk about this with LaBar more later in the week.
Yeah, he's
there. Because that's going to be, I feel like, a heavy WWE episode. But where does it go for Cody from here? Reigns has spun off into the Bloodline feud, and I don't know if that's resolved yet or not. Cody's going to presumably take care of Kevin Owens, right?
Who hasn't been around for a couple months?
The Rock, Cena,
Randall K. Orton.
Okay, Randall K. Orton.
So I'm thinking Randy might come in and show back up, and all of a sudden you had the KO Randy Cody issues back a couple months ago, and Randy joins the KO side and says, "Yeah, Cody is a phony," and you got Randy and Cody at the Mania.
That's nothing against Randy. Like he's still fantastic, but like it's just weird that it feels like every storyline they're attempting to build, and I'm sure there's a bigger plan involved at play here. Every storyline involved feels like it pales a little bit in comparison to something else. Like something else will end up being the Sunday night main event at WrestleMania. Like the Sunday night main event at WrestleMania can't be Cody, Randy. I don't think it can.
Rock and Roman.
Okay, that's fair if it happens that way. But, like, I don't know.
Charlotte and Tiffy?
On a Sunday night? No, that'll open the show on one of the nights.
Charlotte might win the Rumble.
She's not. Does she come for Tiffy, though? Or does she come for Rhea?
I don't know.
Well, we can talk about it more with LeBar later in the week, because we will talk Royal Rumble later in the week. Thank you for the update. I will go watch the Jacob Fatu. Who'd you say he beat? Oh, Strowman. Braun Strowman match. Braun
Strowman is so bad that Tama Tonga even had to try to pull him off of him. That's how bad it got.
Good Lord. Braun Strowman, by the way, is the single largest human I've ever been next to.
There's a good documentary on him with up in Wisconsin when that Christmas parade somebody ran over.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that long. It's only a half hour where he helped the family members out and stuff like that. It's a really good show. I mean, he's a monster, but he's
a great dude. I met him at a charity softball game a few years ago.
I remember.
And it was hilarious to see. I was on the same team as him and Chelsea Green and
Chelsea.
And Aditi Kinkabwala, who was with NFL Network then, is with CBS now, standing next to Braun Strowman, was like a cartoon.
6'8", 350 or 385.
And she's like 4'10".
If that.
Like a 100 pounds soaking wet. Yeah. It was like, how are these two people the same species? This does not add up. All right. Later in the week, Justin LeBar will join us, hopefully Thursday. We'll get that worked out. Kaboom is going to get some more. What are you doing? Fixing your
The way I look at it, it looked like I had no teeth.
You got that Bell Vernon dentistry plan. Kaboom is going to cover Art's meeting with the media this week, and after it's over with, we'll break it all down. And then it's Super Bowl week. So, again, we appreciate all you hanging out with us. We'll do it again soon. Yep. For Mark Cabali, I'm Chris Mack. This has been, that's where we got the name of it, Cabali and Mack.